Okay, we'll start in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Everyone got a handout with them, right? All right, if you've been with us for the past 3 weeks, you know that we are talking about the subject of
stewardship.
Very good. We've been talking about stewardship in terms of our financial resources, but in general, about all the resources that we have in life and how we are just stewards of them and not owners of them. How God is the owner of everything and we are just the stewards of them. Now, today's topic, which is going to be the final in the series, is going to be a slightly different one than the past few weeks. We can't talk about the idea of stewardship without talking about one of the most important commodities that we have. Okay, money is really important to us, and it's important that we manage it wisely. But there's one thing that I would say is more important to us, which is our time. Okay, so today we're going to talk about time stewardship. Not time management, but time stewardship. Okay, because time management is what you'll hear about in the world. Before we get there, you remember months ago when we did the 40 Days of Purpose. And we talked about how God created each one of us for a specific purpose and specific reason. We said God created us to worship Him and fellowship and discipleship and ministry and evangelism. And we said that God has certain things planned for me. That God created Abuna Anthony on whatever day, whatever year, whatever time. And He said, by the time Abuna Anthony dies, then hopefully he's accomplished, you know, these things, however many it may be. Well, after that, someone came to me with kind of a funny comment. He told me, okay, let's say, you know, you agree that God created us all to accomplish a certain number of things. He said, I'm so far behind in what God has for me to do that I know I'm not going to die for a long, long time so I can enjoy my life. Okay? Looking at it from a little bit of a backwards perspective. But the idea is that all of us have that same kind of feeling, that we are short on time. Is there anyone that would say that they have too much free time? Raise your hand. Anyone say they have too much spare time? Anyone say that they wouldn't like to add a few more hours in the day? Okay, good. Well, a survey said that 61% of people living in Northern Virginia say that they don't have enough time. Okay? Northern Virginia, the D.C. metropolitan area, is unique in that it creates a feeling of busyness. And somehow people who have nothing to do in life move to this area, and the next thing you know, they're running around like crazy people like the rest of us. All right? It's something about this area. I don't know what it is. There is traffic, they said. If you've been to Kenya before, okay, I've been to Kenya. Kenya, they have the word that they use to describe the white man. Okay? It's a funny, funny word. It literally means someone who runs around in circles. That's what the word the white man means. Okay? And you see why. You see it's true. Because if you come from over there, you come here, you see people are running around like crazy, so busy, getting nothing done but working all the time. I'd say that as important as money is to us, that time is our most precious commodity. Okay? Far more important than money. Thing is, with money, you can always get more of it. So money is important, but you can always work and get more. Or you can save, or you can hold on to. But time is something that you can't hold on to. So time is more precious, in my opinion. If you are wasting time, then you end up wasting life. Because life is time. Your life is defined by what you do and the time that you have. So to say that I'm just wasting time is actually wasting your life. Killing time, another good expression that we have, is actually killing your life and killing yourself. So, what we're going to try to figure out how to do today is how we can manage our time or organize our time. And it's coming at a good time because now all you're starting classes again. Or maybe if you're working, then September finishes the summer, so it's back to work. And all of us go, we have our nice goals and our nice deadlines and nice things we want to accomplish. And by the time I want to accomplish this grade point average, or I want to get this promotion this year, or I want to get this wife this year, whatever it is that you want to accomplish, September is the time of year to kind of set your goals for yourself. So it's important for us that we have this talk right now. Look what the Bible has to say about setting goals and organizing your time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." See then that you walk circumspectly. Of course, you're all college students. You know what circumspectly means. It means like circum means around, or like a circle, right? Or circumference. So circumspectly means like walk around and take care and check out all the little details. It means carefully. All right? So it means walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise people. Our goal for today's discussion is how we can take the principles that we learned over the past 3 weeks about stewardship and apply them to our time. Apply them to that valuable resource that God has given us, which is our time. First thing I'm going to tell you is that what we're going to discuss today is not going to be anything that you can find. All right, you go anywhere, you can find time management seminar, or you can read a book about how to manage your time, or you can go to classes, or you can do all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to tell you anything that they're going to tell you. Because there's one essential difference, which I'm going to start off with. One assumption that I'm going to make right off the bat that's completely separate from what they would say. I am not going to teach you how to do more. Okay, those time management classes, the goal of going to them is how I can squeeze more into my day. How in the same 24-hour period, I can do more. And I can study more. Or I can get a better promotion or a better job. And I'm telling you, I'm going to start off with the exact opposite assumption. I'm going to say that my goal is not to teach you how to do more, but teach you how to do less. Because I'd say that all of us are running around with too many activities in life. All of us have too many commitments, too many responsibilities, too many things that we're involved in, and there's too much that we are involved in, and that's why we have too much stress. The worst thing that could happen to you, and I'm glad Adam answered that way when I asked, is if I could find a way to magically add an hour to your day. That would be a disaster. Because you would find a way to squeeze 500 things in that one extra hour. And if I could squeeze just 5 more minutes in my day, then believe me, you'd pack that 5 minutes with another 20 things to do. So that's the last thing we're going to talk about here today, is how to add more time. Well, instead of just adding, we're going to take a step back and say, is what I'm doing necessary? Is this activity or this commitment or this involvement necessary? Should I be doing this? Our goal is going to be to do more of what God wants me to do and less of what God doesn't want me to do. That's how you do time stewardship. And if we're going to talk about time stewardship, there's 3 kind of principles that we're going to talk around. The first step in time stewardship on your handout is to devise my goals around God's purpose for me. To devise my goals around God's purpose for me. Everyone has goals in life. Like I said, you're starting off this September, you've got lots of goals, lots of ambitions, lots of dreams, lots of kinds of stuff. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Actually, believe it or not, having goals is something that God likes you to do. God likes for us to set goals. God likes it when we kind of step out there and say, okay, this is what I want to accomplish this year. But we have to keep in mind the principle of stewardship when making our goals. It means that we have to look at God's purpose. Not what are my goals, not what do I want to accomplish, but what does God want me to accomplish this year? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. You'll see that St. Paul was a man with goals. He said, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. St. Paul knew what he was running. He had a goal. He wasn't just running around like a crazy guy, just, you know, every which direction. He was running with certainty, a certain direction. That's what it means to have goals. Like I said, goals are a good thing in God's eyes. Goals, in a sense, are a statement of faith. Okay? Goals are a statement of faith because what a goal is saying that I believe that God wants me to accomplish whatever. You know, I believe God wants me to pay off my car loan. Or I believe God wants me to get a 3.0 GPA. Or I believe God wants me to whatever it is by such and such time. So it's a statement of faith. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 on your handout says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. So setting goals is a good thing. And setting goals is a way of showing your faith in God. But there's a difference between what I'm going to say setting goals and what the world will say setting goals. The world will tell you, if there's a will, there's a way. So whatever it is you want, whatever it is you dream about, whatever it is you just want to accomplish in life, put your mind to it and do it. You can accomplish anything. What do we say? Is it true? Where there's a will, there's a way? Let me put it this way. I will to be Michael Jordan. And I know I'm pretty close. And I know anyone who's seen me play will say that, you know, I'm not far. But by the same token, is that what God wants me to do? Hopefully. I mean, it'd be nice. But if I wasted my whole day playing basketball and practicing and shooting three-pointers, you know, first of all, I'm never going to be as good as Michael Jordan. And second of all, it's not what God wants me to do. God does not want me to play basketball all day. Some people may be different. Maybe some people are lucky, you know? But that's not what God's will is. So I can't just set a goal and say, yeah, my goal is to be in the NBA. And whatever it takes to achieve it, I'm going to do. That's not taking into account God's purpose for me. So we don't play it from that way. However, if God wills for something, if God's goal or God's purpose is for something, that's where we invest our energy and our time. Like we said before in the 40 days of purpose, God created each one for a specific purpose and each one for a specific reason. And if whoever you are or whatever you are doesn't get done, then the world is lacking. All right, let's say, I like using Sandy as an example, now that Sandy's back. Let's say God created Sandy to be the world's best auto mechanic. Sorry, Mariam. And he created him to be the best auto mechanic, and he would fix all the church's cars and the priest's cars for free. Let's say that's what God proposed or had in mind for Sandy. That was his purpose for Sandy. So if Sandy doesn't fill that role, then the world is lacking. Then the church cars is broken. Then, you know, Abuna's got to pay $30 at Jiffy Lube to get an oil change. All kinds of stuff like that. If you're not fulfilling your purpose, then something is missing. And the opposite is true too, that if you are fulfilling your purpose in life, then nothing is missing. Then everything makes sense. Then you feel fulfillment and you feel satisfaction in life. Okay? So, anytime you pick up a book on time management or organizing your time, it's going to ignore this essential principle, which is the most important one, which is what is God's purpose for me to do in life. If you ignore this principle, as I said, then you end up with those midlife crises. Then you end up like those people who are CEOs and rich and all kinds of stuff, and they say, there's got to be more in life, or there's got to be something better. Then you end up like those people who commit suicide, even though they have everything worldly and everything materialistic. Because they're not building their life, building their goals around God's purpose. So our kind of idea is we're going to set goals, and when we accomplish those goals, it'll be satisfying and fulfilling because they're God's purpose for us. So what are the purposes that God had for us in life? Well, I put you a summary right there that we discussed in the 40 days of purpose. We said God created us for 5 essential reasons. And I'm saying you have to set a goal in each one of those. Worship, meaning I was planned for God's pleasure. What are your goals this year in terms of worship? What are your goals in terms of your life of prayer, your quiet time, or your worship, you know, here in the church? You know, what are your goals? Do you have any goals in that area? How about fellowship? What are your goals for fellowship? To become more involved in a fellowship group? To be committed to coming, you know, to a Bible study group or any kind of fellowship group? What are your goals for discipleship? Becoming like Christ, you know, in terms of obedience to His commands and resisting temptation and all kinds of stuff like that. And then ministry, shaped to serve. What are your goals in terms of ministry? How do you look to serve God more this year? And finally, evangelism. How do you look to complete the mission which God created you for? The point is that the goals are kind of like where the expression goes, where the rubber meets the road. You know, it's where all this talk about purposes and yeah, we're going to worship and we're going to evangelism, all that kind of stuff. Well, a goal kind of puts it into concrete terms. All right, you say you're here for evangelism. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? You say, yeah, we have to all be missionaries. And wherever I go, I have to be missionary. But then I do nothing about it. No, set a goal. This year, I'll invite 3 people to church. What's your goal in terms of discipleship? This year, I'll finally stop this bad habit. What's your goal in terms of worship? This is the year I'm finally going to get to church before the gospel on Sundays. This is the year I'm going to take communion every Sunday. What are your goals in terms of God's purposes for your life? You have to put these purposes into something concrete. The reason that goals is so important, and you're never going to be successful without goals, is because we focus on whatever it is that our goal is. Let's say, for example, I'm driving down the street. All right? Just like they taught you in driver's ed, 2 hands on the wheel, right? If I'm driving 2 hands on the wheel like this, and then, you know, something catches my eye over here, and I start to do like this, what's going to happen to the car naturally? It's going to naturally turn this way, right? Once I turn my head this way, then my body's going to turn. You know, if I turn this way, it's going to naturally go this way. Because we naturally go where our eyes is focused. All right? It makes sense. You'll end up in the direction that your eyes is focused on. Well, same thing in life. What's your goal in terms of God's purpose for your life? If you don't have a goal, if you're just driving around like this, dude, you know, like you're going to end up nowhere. You're going to end up driving around in a circle the whole time. Imagine playing a football game without any yard markers. How fun would it be? that you run and run and run, and you don't know if you gained or lost, or you don't know what down it is. Then you run and run and run again, and again, you don't know what's going on. You just play in an open field that's endless. No boundaries. No out of bounds. No touchdown. No nothing. It's a waste of time. Well, same thing in life. Are you running in life just kind of haphazardly? You don't know if you're gaining, or you don't know if you're going backwards. You don't know if you've scored a touchdown, or you don't know if you got sacked in the end zone for a safety. You know, you need to have these goals, these signposts along the way. That this year, my goal is keza, or this year, my goal is whatever to accomplish. Okay? If you don't have that, if you don't have goals in life, what do you end up doing? You end up, like I said, like just running around doing all kinds of things, putting out fires. You know, whatever's right in front of you, you end up focusing on that. So the first way that we take advantage of time stewardship is we have to devise goals around God's purpose. The second thing is I must organize my activities around relationships. Organize my activities around relationships. Activities is like the practical stuff of goals. Activities is what you do to accomplish the goal. Now let me ask you a question. How many people have a to-do list? How many people's to-do list has 700 items, and the majority of them were due a long time ago, and then we only end up doing whatever is due immediately right now? Okay, that's the way we all work. What do? We have a to-do list. The problem is on the to-do list is that the things on the to-do list are not always the same. All right, what we do is we just list things on the to-do list. Okay, but they're not always of equal importance. Let me give you an example. Let's say Thomas Jefferson. Let's say he had a to-do list. Imagine with me. What would be on Thomas Jefferson's to-do list? Let's say item one was like pick up milk from the cow today. Item two was finish the Declaration of Independence. Item three was run for Vice President of the United States of America. Item four was clean up my ship-ships from the room because my wife is going to scream at me. Those are four items on the to-do list. But obviously they're not of equal weight and value. All right? Some things are more important than other things. Well, I'm telling you, we do the same thing in our life. We have a to-do list, and everything's kind of mixed up. And some things are important, and some things aren't. And some things are really serious, and some things are a waste of time. The problem is that most of us come home after a long day of work, or maybe it's even at work, and you look at your to-do list, and it's 30 things, and 5 of them are done. The rest of the 25 things, you know, should have been done a while ago, or whatever. We're all behind on them. So what do we naturally do? If you're like me, and I'm assuming most of you are, what do you naturally do? Which item do you go for first on that to-do list? The easiest one. The easiest one. Why? Because we like that check mark. You know, that done. We like that kind of, that satisfaction of crossing something off. I'm telling you a true story. Okay, a true story about a girl that I knew in college that was so into to-do lists that when she got stressed out, believe me, I couldn't believe, I know you're not going to believe, you're going to say, Abuna Anthony, you're a liar, but I'm telling you, I saw it with my own eyes, that her to-do list during finals week actually had on there, go to sleep and wake up. And she would go to sleep at night and cross off, go to sleep, she'd wake up in the morning and cross off, wake up. I'm dead serious. Okay, and I saw it with my own eyes. Why? Because we human beings, maybe we're not to that extreme as she was, but we like to cross things off. We like easy things on our to-do list, so we feel like, okay, you know, I woke up, I took out the trash, I did all this stuff. Maybe my taxes are undone, or maybe, you know, I didn't finish that paper or whatever. But, you know, I accomplished 6 or 7 things today. All right? That's not good time management. We need to organize our activities not around the unfinished, not around the urgent, but around relationships. Okay? Around relationships. And I'll explain what that means. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 6. Says, for every matter there is a time. For every matter there is a time. What that verse says is that there's a lack of time in the world. There's just enough time to do everything that needs to get done. What there is a lack of time management or time stewardship. Think about it. Would God, a loving God, a wise God, a smart God, give you more to do than you had time to do? What kind of person in his right mind would give someone a task which takes 30 hours to do and say you have 5 minutes to do it? It doesn't make sense. Alright? Same thing with God. Don't think that God has all these things for you to do and all kinds of stuff for you to do and you don't have enough time. No, it's not the way it is. God would give you exactly enough time for exactly what he wants you to do. So, therefore, if I'm feeling stressed out, I'm feeling there's not enough time, there's only 2 choices of what's going on in my life. Either number one, I'm doing things that I shouldn't be doing. Or number two, I'm doing the right things, but I'm doing them in the wrong way. Those are the only two choices. Alright? There's enough time to do everything that God wants you to do. So if you don't have enough time, either you're doing things that God doesn't want you to do, or you're doing the right things in the wrong way. Every one of us will start off tomorrow morning with exactly 168 hours until the following Monday morning. Exactly the same. No one's going to have more, no one's going to have less. Some people in that time will make a difference in the world. Some people will make a difference in God's eyes. Some people make a difference in the grand scheme of the world. Other people won't. Is that because some people had more time than others? No, it's because some people manage their time better. The difference is in the management. So that's why God says we have to organize our activities around what's really important in life and not what's urgent. What's the difference between what's urgent and what's important? Urgent means the thing that's right in front of me. We spend all of our time, I shouldn't say all of our time, we spend a lot of our time wasting it on doing the urgent things and not the important things. Okay? For example, something urgent is like, you know, my mind's on blank right now. Okay, I'd say something urgent is something like, you know, something happens around the house and you need something, something needs to get fixed or something like that. Those are the kind of things that happen, the urgent things, you know, things that kind of come up, you know, all the time. But the important things are what we need to plan for. The important things are like spending time with your wife. That'll never be urgent. Unless, hopefully it'll never be urgent for you. Hopefully if you're in good standing at home, that'll never be an urgent situation. Spending time with your kids will never be urgent. Reading the Bible will never be urgent. Okay, these are important things, but they're never urgent. What's urgent is, got to make that phone call, or got to answer the phone, or got to send that fax, or got to mow the lawn. These are things that have to be done immediately. You know, but we waste our time around those things, not on the important. So that's why God says, plan your activities around what's important. Okay? Plan your activities. Now, let me ask you a question. Does God like planning? God like for us to plan? Wait a minute. Didn't God say, do not worry about tomorrow? God doesn't want us to plan. God says, don't worry. Just pray and read the Bible and don't worry about tomorrow. Right? No, not definitely not true. Okay? There's a difference between don't worry about tomorrow and don't plan for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow means plan for tomorrow. Because if you're not planned, then you're going to worry. The more planned you are, the less you worry. God is a planner. God planned the world. God planned you. God planned the entire, everything about your life. God is definitely in favor of planning. The difference between planning and worrying is that one takes away from the other. Like I said, the more you plan, the less you should end up worrying. And worry comes from a lack of planning. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. It says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. His steps. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. We have to see who it is that's directing our steps. Okay, what it is. Like I said, is it the urgent or is it what's important? Is the relationships? Your life, even if you didn't care about any relationships, okay, cannot be lived in a vacuum. So even if you had the greatest to-do list, and let's say your to-do list had nothing to do with any people, nothing to do with God, nothing to do with anyone around you, and you said, today I'm going to wake up and I'm going to, boom, do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all these kinds of things. There's no way that you'll be able to accomplish anything because you can't live your life in that vacuum. People are going to call you. There's going to be traffic. Someone's going to interrupt you. There's going to be a situation where you have to interact with people and you have to interact in relationships. So you can never, ever do anything without interruptions or without distractions or anything like that. So what's smarter is to plan for those things and to plan for the relationships in my life. Now, if you want to talk about what are those kind of relationships that I'm talking about here, I break them into five categories for you. The five kind of essential dimensions of life. The five kind of relationships you need to take in mind when you're planning your activities. Now, before I talk about the five, do you guys know what a pentathlon is? Okay, what's a pentathlon? Anyone? Five events, okay? It's like an Olympic event where you have to do like five things, like biking and then running and then like other kinds of stuff. Maybe javelin or discus, or I don't know, whatever it is. The point is that you can't... Okay, forget about... I'll give you a better example, one that you can all relate to. You guys know American Gladiators, right? You've all seen American Gladiators. It's the one where you have the slam dunk ball of this, and then the one where you jump down, and the obstacle course, and all those kinds of things. There's all kinds of different events, and you compete in them, and then at the end, whoever's got the highest score wins. Now, what happens if I'm the world's best person at Powerball, that slam dunk game where you go in the middle and there's the two gladiators against you? But let's say I stink at, the one where you jump down from the wall and try to catch that ball up there. Let's say I'm really good at one, but I'm stinky at the other. Let's say I'm excellent at one. I'm the best in the world at the other. You know? But in the other game, I'm no good. How would I do in American Gladiators? Probably not very good. I can't just blow off this competition and say, okay, well, I'm going to compete in four out of the five, but I don't want to compete in that fifth one. It doesn't work like that, right? Same thing in life and your relationships. You can't just blow off one of them. The first essential dimension of your life is my relationship to myself. My relationship to myself. Meaning that God wants you to plan activities for your own personal development, for your own personal growth. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 52. It says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Our Lord Jesus Christ grew in all these areas physically. Look, that area says he increased in four categories: in wisdom, or intellectually, in stature, physically, in favor with God, spiritually, and with men, meaning relationally or socially. God wants us to also develop in these areas, and he wants us also to plan time for this kind of development. All right? So it's against, don't think that's what God teaches or the church teaches, to ignore your health and ignore any time of rest and recreation. No, God likes a little R&R for us every now and then. He wants us to rest our body. He wants us to challenge our minds, okay? He wants us to grow in these areas. So first is yourself. Number two on the back of your handout is my family. Is my family. Meaning that you have to plan activities. If you're a husband, spend time with your wife. If you're a wife, husband. Parents, kids. All right, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." That's a little harsh. It says he's denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. But what if I'm busy with church? What if I'm busy with service? Okay. The Bible here says that you're worse than an unbeliever. Okay. And that doesn't just apply for husbands making money for their families. No, wife, that's for spending time with the kids and making them do their homeworks and, all kinds of family relationships. If anyone does not provide for his own. Number three is my church. My church. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Says, "You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Means that we're all part of God's family. And if we say we have a duty to our own family, then we have a duty to the family of God or the house of God, meaning we have chores to do, meaning we have bills to pay, etc., etc., etc. So we have to organize activities around that. It's important that we realize that you cannot be all that God wants you to be unless you are an active member in a church and the body of Christ. When Christ came to this world, he didn't leave behind a Bible. He didn't leave behind an ekbeia. He didn't leave behind a liturgy book. He left behind one thing. What's that one thing? Church. The church. Okay? If you want to know why he came, what did he want to leave? He came to leave the church. So it's important that we plan our activities and organize our activities around that important relationship. Number four is my relationship with my work. My work. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." Oh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one for you unemployed people right now. Job market's tough. And the Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Meaning? Now, the Bible's not saying that work should be number one priority. It's not saying we should work until 11 o'clock every night. But what it is saying is that we shouldn't be a freeloader. Like I said, we have duties to ourselves. All right? We have duties to our family. We have duties to our church. In order to do these duties, we need to provide financially as well. All right? For our families and for our church as well. And finally, number five is my community. My community. And St. Paul says in Romans chapter 14, verse 7, "For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself." meaning that we're all part of a larger community. That means that we can't be in our own little bubble and say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm not going to obey the laws, I'm above the laws. Or we can't say, I'm a Christian, I don't need to vote, voting is for suckers. Or we can't say, any of that kind of stuff, I don't want to pay my taxes or anything like that. So we have to be part of the community around us. So organize your activities around these five essential relationships: yourself, your family, your church, your work, and your community. Now again, if I am very, very successful in one area, like for example my work, I'm very successful in work, and I'm very successful in my relationship to myself, I take good care of myself, but I'm a zero when it comes to my relationship with the church. I don't give a dime, I don't attend any services, I don't get fed, I don't have any relationship with the church. What is that kind of life called? Do I win the game of life or do I lose? I lose. I failed. Okay, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I didn't succeed in God's purpose for me. Because God's purpose for me entails all those things. That's what you would call a wasted life. Now, can you go to heaven and say, but God, I made a lot of money on earth. See, I was really, really good in this one area. I made a lot of money. What's he going to say? All right, that's not going to be a good thing. All right? The key is to have a balance of these five things. Okay? So, first was devise my goals. Second was organize my activities. And now, harmonize my schedule around my values. Harmonize my schedule around my values. What does harmonize mean? What's the word harmony mean? Harmonize. In sync, okay? That's good. What the dictionary says is in agreement. So let's say there's two people singing, and one is singing really high, and one is singing really low. You want to harmonize them. Means you have to adjust them, kidda. Okay? Bring one down a little, bring one up a little, until they're in agreement with each other. Well, what we're saying here is the third step is to harmonize your schedule, your little Palm Pilot, your agenda or whatever, to harmonize that with what your values are, what you said your goals are, and things like that. Now, this is important. Raise your hand if you have a Palm Pilot or a schedule of some kind, or use your Outlook calendar of some kind. We all do. The majority of us do. Maybe except some people. All right, but the majority of us have some type of system of scheduling appointments or whatever we have to do. What I'm saying, if something is important to you, put it in your Palm Pilot. Put it on your schedule. If it's not important to you, it never makes it in there. Our problem is that we go around, or let's say we come to church, or let's say we see Abuna, or we see Mom or Dad, and we say, yeah, my spiritual life is very important to me. And yeah, no, prayer, that's number one. What are you talking about? And you know, or another one, how about physical exercise? No, exercise is really important. Eating healthy, that's really important to me. All right, we say all these things are important to us, but we do nothing about it. It never makes it into our calendar. Never makes it into my Outlook calendar. What I'm saying is if something's really important, prove it by putting it in your calendar. Write it in there. If you walk out of here and say, yeah, you know, Boone Anthony inspired me, I'm going to pray more, and I'm going to be at church every Sunday, write it in your calendar. You ever thought about writing in your calendar Sunday liturgy? You ever thought about it? Write it in there. You know why it's important? Because let me tell you this. Let me ask you this question. If you wake up one morning, and if you're like me, you check your calendar, or it pops up there when you open up Outlook, and you see on there, you know, appointment, you know, 11:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m., then what's the whole morning, no matter where I go or what I do, what's in my head? Got to be at that meeting at 11:30. Got to be at that meeting at 11:30. And every time I open my email, I see that meeting reminder. And there's a little thing that says, you know, in 2 hours, you click on the snooze button, you know, come back 1 hour before the meeting. Come back half hour before the meeting. All that kind of stuff. My day is going to revolve around that meeting. Or at least my morning. Because it's written down there. And it keeps popping up on Outlook. So I can't get it away from me. Well, I'm saying that if something's really important to you, put it in your Outlook. Put it in your Palm Pilot so that you're reminded about it and you are forced to do something about it. Take your goals that you talked about in point one, translate them into activities. Take your activities that we talked about in step number two and put them into your schedule. And that's what we're talking about here today. Look at Psalm 90, verse 12. Says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Our Lord likes it when we count our days, we count our time, we take note of everything. Let me ask you a question. Let's say a new bank just opened up around the corner here on Route 29 or whatever. And this bank is a really unique bank. And this bank says that if you show up every morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, they will create an account for you, or let's say you have an account, if you have an account there. Show up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they will deposit $86,000, $86,400 into your account. Every morning, 7 a.m., $86,400. But there's a catch. Okay, you can spend the money however you want. Do whatever the heck you want with it. But the one catch is that whatever you haven't used up, next day, 7 o'clock in the morning, gets erased. All right, doesn't roll over, doesn't carry over. So every day you come to me, I'll give you $86,400. But whatever you don't use by the end of the day, I take it back. What would you do? We'd be very creative in how we could spend $86,400 every day, wouldn't we? We take skydiving lessons. We go out and buy anything we want to buy. Put all kinds of down payments on cars. We do all kinds. We find ways to spend the money. Would anyone ever come to me and say, "No, I don't think I can. I don't know how to spend that money. No, send it back. I don't want it." Anyone do that in their right mind? Well, I'm telling you, every morning, where'd I get $86,400 from? Every morning, God gives you 86,400 seconds. Every single day, God says, "Here, into your life, I will deposit 86,400 seconds. And every one of those seconds, you can do whatever you want with it. You can spend it however you please. But at the end of the day, whatever you didn't use, I'm going to take back. You can't have it anymore. And it runs out." What would you do then with that situation? What would you do? Would you find ways to spend those seconds? Or would you sit around and say, just kill some time? Or would you waste it on things that didn't make sense? If you use those seconds wisely, you've done a good job. But if not, that'd be considered a waste. This idea of time stewardship that we're talking about today, if you want to boil it down into one kind of lump, like one kind of bottom line sentence, I'd say two things. Do less of what I'm not created to do, and do more of what God created me to do. That's time stewardship. Less of what I'm not created to do, and more of what God created me to do. Less of what the world thinks I should do. Less of what my buddies in my dorm room think is really important. Less of what my boss at work says is the most important thing for me to do. And more of what God says I should do. I'm telling you that you have exactly enough time in life to do what God wants you to do. Exactly. Because God is going to give you enough time to do whatever it is that He wants you to do. If something's not getting done in life, then like I said, one of two problems. Either one, you're doing something which you shouldn't be doing, or two, you're doing the right thing in the wrong way, in the way that you shouldn't be doing it. Okay? But it's important that we understand this concept. It's really, really important that we understand this now in September as we're beginning the new school year or setting our goals or whatever, because you have to realize that Satan's first strategy to kill me and you is to make us bad. All right? He wants to make us bad. He wants to make us evil. But sometimes he fails in that. Sometimes he can't make us bad. So what's a close number two? What's a second option? It's to make us busy. If he can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Why? Because if you're busy, you'll be ineffective. He would love it if the sons and daughters of God were so busy with so many things, even if they're not bad things, but worthless things, that they couldn't focus on doing what God wanted them to do. Okay? He would love it. Imagine, let's go to G.I. Joe and Cobra again, because we've used that before. Let's say you're Cobra. All right, you want to defeat G.I. Joe, and you're an army. You want to defeat another army. Well, it's not logical that you would get them to kill each other and shoot each other. So what's better is you keep them busy doing all kinds of things which mean nothing. You know, and if you keep them busy, then you can divide and conquer them and kill them. Well, I'm telling you, it's the same way with the devil. Look at the last verse on your handout. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened." You want to add more time, you want to get more done, you want to do what God wants you to do, time stewardship the way God wants. The bottom line of it is that you have to be able to balance all these things that we talked about. But the only way to balance them, as Proverbs 10 tells us, is having the Lord at the middle of your life. Okay? Anyone have any questions? Okay. Let's stand for prayer and then I'll make a quick announcement. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, our dear Heavenly Father. for the giving us this message that you brought to us today. We thank you, dear Lord, from the depth of our heart for all that you give to us and for this day that you blessed us with and this day that you've given to us to accomplish your will and to accomplish your purpose in our life. We pray, dear Lord, that each one of us would be wiser stewards of our time, of our money, of our health, of our everything that we have. Everything that you've given to us, dear Lord, we know it belongs to you. We know that time is not something which is a right that we have, but it's a privilege that you give to us. You give us the ability to see the light of another day. And we know that it's not so that we can waste it in front of the TV or playing video games or doing all kinds of crazy things. But you give us the time so that we can serve you, we can glorify you, and we can worship your holy and blessed name. Bless my brothers and sisters who are standing here before you, dear Lord, and help them to organize their time into a valuable and productive and efficient way, a way that's glorifying to your name. Bless them all in their studies and their work with their families and all they go through for the sake of your holy name. Pray, dear Lord, that you would bless our church here, bless our father, Abunim Shoy, Tosoni, Irini, and all those who ask us to remember them in our prayers. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, and through the intercessions of our Holy Mother, the Mother of Light, St. Mary, and through the prayers of St. Mark, and all your saints, hear us as we pray with all thanksgiving. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, the gift and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Go in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.